WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. Tonight I'll be leading off with another spiritual UN teachable moment. We learned a hard truth in the moment in teachable moments one and two. One, the economy is designed on purpose through debt, war, taxes, usury, to keep us all, the 99% of us, in cycles of never-ending war, depressions, recessions, and poverty. Two, we're on the unstoppable prison train of globalization, where we're being socially engineered, GMO'd, vaccine traumatized, chemtrailed, fluoridated, and radiated, all for the purpose of producing passive, unquestioningly obedient, ignorant, compliant, dumbed-down, 1040 revenue-producing slave units. This prison train is heading us all toward the unacceptable reality of worldwide tyranny, militarism, and planetary destruction. We also learned that the only way to stop the danger and avoid the catastrophic future is to move the tracks, which we can do by opting for the spiritual UN's holistic world planetary paradigm. In other words, we want you to start choosing the better system that is aligned to the greatest and highest potential of all human beings. In the following series of moments, we're going to recapture the idea of the American founding through the spiritual UN. We're going to take it to its highest potential for humanity so we never lose America for what she was conceived to be for the world. Take one key thought from each chapter of the Spiritual UN General Past Manifesto, which is available on the spiritualun.org site. And now, I'm going to hand the show over to my friend and co-host, Mike Pelichek, an American writer.
Hey, Chuck, how you doing down there? Tonight we're going to welcome back a couple of old friends, poet Lee Herrick from Minneapolis, and radio columnist Sherwood Ross from Coral Gables, Florida. So we're coming to you tonight from Vancouver, that's Len Osanek, Fort Lauderdale, that's Chuck, near Duluth, me, Lee in Minneapolis, and Sherwood in Coral Gables. Well, the Occupy movement is an amazing happening, an awakening, and I hope it keeps going and going and growing. But to me, even if it succeeds, but wait a minute, what could that mean for it to succeed? That would be the end of America, and that would be great. America needs to end and be replaced by new America. Yes, that would be great. But still, at least to me, we absolutely still need to get to the root. Getting to the root is what radicals do, I think. We need to get to the truth about 9/11, about RFK, about JFK, MLK, Waco, Oklahoma City. And that's just me. Maybe I'm OCD over this stuff. Probably it's just me. But I've got to have this on the front page of major newspapers, on TV news, even weekly newspapers. Even the Iowa Woodbury Twiner. It's got to say that the CIA killed these people, and Paul Wellstone, too. It's got to feature a four-column color photo of George Bush Jr. and Sr. being taken to jail. Dick Cheney, Condoleezza, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, all the usual suspects. And maybe that can happen after the revolution, and that's fine by me, but it has to happen sometime. It's time again for the New American Dream Radio Show, the American Russian novel, All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. Because we have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There is no hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be American. That's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who have brought about this long 10-year war and debacle to trial and put on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon, so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. And part of that is becoming the call of people who are capable of telling the truth. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies. But it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden. You know that they all know that, and yet they refuse to acknowledge what they know. They kill and continue to kill. They allow others to die and continue to send others to their deaths for a lie. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. Our country is surely broken as well. We need a truth commission. We need to put certain people on the stand, and we need to be allowed to ask questions. The troops are not protecting us. How does somebody spit on the day's news? Somebody's advertising slogan and somebody else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They are not heroes. Any welcome home parade should proceed directly to the county courthouse for prosecution. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones in the Occupy movement who go face to face with the empire. And you have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He is complicit. He has lied. He has continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan based on a lie, and he knows he is lying. He lied right to our faces on national television when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, and Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 and 2004 elections. And see, there is a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. It went all the way into that hole, and no, there's no blood and no bodies and no luggage scattered around or plane parts. and Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. You'll remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Just like a horror movie, and the killer is still in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
The United States is not a police state. And you would be a fat communist soccer lover wearing lederhosen and a tiny Bavarian hat with a feather and a tight jacket and knee socks with buckle shoes who does not fit in with the rest of the family at Thanksgiving dinner, if you thought so. There are not police everywhere. You do not have to go to where the police put you in order to hold your sign and have your freedom of speech like a Bolshevik perched atop a potato crate. This is America! There are not thousands and thousands of people making their living off the war on terror, and Homeland Security, the Border Patrol, U.S. Army, the airport box cutter shampoo bazooka up the wazoo finder guys, the video game industry, bullet industry, casket and handcuff, and easy bake oven secret spy camera industrial complex. It's just not a police state. The police are not shock troops protecting the rich against the poor. It's not. Say it. It's not.
The New American Dream presents an American Hero special. Recently, we honored patriotic singer-songwriter Toby Keith. He put a boot up their ass. Awesome. Last week, we honored General Norman Schwarzkopf, General Colin Powell, General Tommy Franks, General something-something Petraeus, and all the other generals out there in charge of our patriotic military who are protecting us from people plowing mountains with oxen and killing them before they fly those oxen over here and dive bomb us with box cutters and not allow us to worship in the churches of our choice. This week we honor Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who uttered those words that will live forever in Catholic hymnals and on the sides of police cars. Just like Madeleine Albright speaking about the children dying in Iraq during the sanctions. These words will someday be carved in stone in the arches of our great universities and county park public toilets. We came, we saw, he died. And then a giggle. The giggle. Oh, that precious little giggle. Carve her face in stone and plop her on top of Mount Rushmore, doing the giggle, and then with her dress raising up like Marilyn Monroe, standing atop an air vent. Hillary Clinton, you live in a big house with a famous criminal husband, and you work every day to keep the poor poor and the rich rich. We salute you. You are not a pervert or a murderer or an insane person. You are an American hero.
Tonight we welcome back Lee Herrick, Minneapolis poet and musician, and writer, and Lee's been on our show a couple of times before, and it's always fun. Lee, thank you for joining us again.
You're welcome.
How's the weather in Minneapolis?
It's not bad. We were, I think, about 50 today, so, and it was actually, with the sun out, it was almost warm, so.
Well, it's a good bit warmer down here in Fort Lauderdale, but we've had a lot of rain.
Oh, do you have rain? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm kind of cold. I mean, I'm to the point where anything below 75, and I'm a little bit cold, but.
At least you're a couple of hundred miles south of where Mike is.
I know. I know. I just don't understand. I mean, Duluth is nice, but I'm telling you, the stuff they get off that lake there, boy, oh, boy.
I have a cousin who lives even farther north, up in Virginia, Minnesota. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's cold up there.
Oh, it's cold. I know.
I like to visit in the summer.
Yeah, that's it. That's what you have to do.
So what do you think about this Occupy movement? Is anything happening in Minneapolis with that?
A little bit. There's a group, and they're still down there, down by the federal building. Is last, I think that's where they are. And they're active. They're out every day. But it's quiet. It's, I think, a little bit more quiet than some of the major cities. Like, it's a lot more quiet than what's been going on in Oakland or New York, you know. So, but they're still there, though, so I give them a lot of credit. And what do I think about it? I think it's necessary. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's about time.
Because I think that it's, people have gotten away with, I mean, if you consider, just take what the banks have done with the housing loans, and then, you know, luring these people into these ARM arrangements, you know, and...
Yeah.
And then foreclosing on people who probably didn't know half of what they were reading, and there's been no accounting, you know. Instead, you know, we're funding the banks to actually continue with that activity. I'm a little bit shocked to actually see that they still offer these ARM, these mortgages, adjustable rate mortgages. I think they ought to do away with those.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I think that... I think just take that one thing and the Occupy Wall Street and the challenge that they're putting out there, I think it's fantastic.
Well, I do too. I hope something will come up. So do you have some poems to read for us tonight?
I do. I have two shorts and then one longer piece, performance piece. So I
Great.
Will just get at it. These first two, I need to ask you, where's Mike?
Well, Mike is here also. We've kind of hand off the interviews back and forth, and it was my turn to speak
this is the first time I've ever talked to you, Chuck. Okay, so these first two pieces are from my Just War CD, and this first one is called Hierarchy. There was a dream of landscaping. The vast, hard-souled soil of earth would be turned into usefulness. There would be fruit and labor. There would be harvesting and questions. Who owned paradise? What is barrenness? From the second-story porch deck, they could see the need. Yes, rocks, white rocks on top of any colored plastic sheeting and diamond back black edging over here, and chemicals for the green slaughter. Over there, and we will watch and wait with this hunting in us for the perfected turf to grow. And so for days, that was the dream, and so they named it, they called it good. This next poem is called Parting Poem. And it's a poem about the shifting paradigm. Goodbye, territories. Goodbye, deserts. Goodbye, storms and spacious skies. Goodbye, swept plains. Goodbye, atrocities. Goodbye, limitless infractions. Goodbye, monopolies and entertaining distractions. Goodbye, dissatisfaction. Goodbye, broken treaties. Goodbye, plans. Goodbye, warheads and waste. Goodbye, I for an I. Goodbye, mascot. Goodbye, rule of thumb. Goodbye, mission. Goodbye, nod. Goodbye, code. Goodbye, semper fi. Goodbye, distance. Goodbye, illusion and fatigue. Goodbye, stubbled impudence. Goodbye, impunity. Goodbye, shroud. Goodbye, impedimenta. Goodbye, wound. Goodbye. 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 And I just want to say I will be posting these on my Facebook page, which is Lee Herrick, and also my website. It's LEIGHHERRICK, LeeHerrick.com. So I'm going to finish with this last poem. It's a longer piece. It is a performance piece. I'm dedicating this to my brothers and sisters occupying financial and other institutions around the world. So bravo to them, and this one goes out to them. Exile in the homeland, an open poem to Congress. America, I'm the inhabited. What have you become? America, with your major and minor leagues, your assassins, fine sheets, this attraction to violent music and AK-47 streets. America, look, I'm your tree, your individuality, your middle name, your fault, your accomplishment, your capital adventure, your failure socially, your orphan writing in exile, your interior dialogue, your stratified strategy. America, I would die for 5-cent coffee and all that we could be. America, beyond your armed reserves. I'm Generation Expatria, your doggerel of wasted time, your front page news. America, I have more than 25 cents. I'm dead with nickels and dimes, living tax-free, your destined accident, your poetic ineptitude, the collected best of what's unfolding, made in greed. America, feed me, I'm hungry, your refugee's last chance loot winner, suffocating in trucks and trunks and cargoed streams. America, your banks are succumbing to all things great. Your libraries aren't liberated. Your librarians not free. Your ticks are democratic. Your talks allied subliminally. Republic to your decree. Thank paradox. Thank irony. Still, I want to be your new non-violent, non-weaponry, your intellectual firearm, not running on MT, not losing ground, losing water or air. It's pretty elemental, America. I'm lonely. You lose. Your meters are full. I'm giving up. I have your ticket, your number, your added pit, 499, ready to go, Los Alamos, America. I need your Prozac, please. A little Merck, America. A little Pfizer-driven prosperity, Lunesta. What am I? Nuts. America. I'm drawing the line. Give me a Winston, a lucky strike. Your caviar nights are over. America, you're losing your Douglas furs. America, I'm culling trunks from Superior's shores. America, I fear we're a dying breed. Here's one for the Gipper, the news you don't read. America, 1695 or 799. I hate your reckless poetry. America, I'm misunderstood. Senators, your petition, please. My alien spouse is here. I've lost my home in roaming fees. These charges drawn, this dawn against me called your son. Sirs and madams, please. My knees are failing. My back for your lettuce and strawberries, America. I'm ignorant now, but really never used to be. You're butting in. You're bugging me. I'm tapped out, America. Wired for complicity. Are you joking, America? Joking with me? I am your statement. Imagining America. Will you transfer my funds now, please? America, this is mutual. I am your childless revolution, and you are overdrawn. U.S. AID. America, your sad, broken billboard of democracy, your run-down schools, your unmasked transitive verbs of highway run-on, belching tar and concrete nouns hurt my feet. I tell you, a cold is coming on, America. I want nylons and chocolate, too. America, does this mean war? America, let's do lunch sometime soon. No, really, I mean it. I miss you. I'll pick you up, say, 1 or noon. America, things aren't looking very bright in spite of Boston's review. America, you're elite. You're beautiful, you're brilliant and shiny, almost .com new. Are not your poor maid for Arlington, who'll never edit the Coastal News. America, my mood has not improved. Your grandmothers are starting to complain. Your vets are starting the protests again. Your immigrant workers, your soldiers, your steel, auto, textile, and the air industry, transatlantic, transpacific stewards of the skies. Oh, pie, 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 America, this is serious. I'm on alert. Your finger's on the gun. I'm covert at the mall. You're concealed in school halls. I have a headache. America, what's wrong? I've got water to sell. You're keeping score. America, I can bake a cake. America, my goose is cooked. America, the best minds of my generation are barely receiving representation. And I'm getting tired of chicken shit news like Allende was killed. What's wrong with the word assassinated? Like, love American style, truer than the red, white, and blue. America, America, I'm looking up your tree. I'm eye to eye with future pulp. I'm leveled with democracy. Your last skid row, your capital flesh, your flora and fauna, the dying ocean's deforested story. I'm calling. I'm calling. You there? I'm calling. I'm calling. Hello?
I don't know how to follow that. Wow. That was tremendous. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Anytime you want to do a performance piece, we'd sure be glad to have it. I'll tell you, that was really something.
Well, thank you very much. And don't forget, I am going to post these to my Facebook page and probably my website. So it's leeherrick.com. And let me mention my book that's coming out, Howling Dog Press. The book is titled Etiolating When. And that's all. Everybody can see that on my website. So.
Okay. Well, I hope everyone will look for it, and we'll look forward to talking to you in another couple of months or 3 months.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you,
Liz. Thanks a lot, Chuck.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
This portion of tonight's program is brought to you by the folks at Drones R Us. We brought you smart bombs and video war games, protecting the American Empire and the 1,000 military bases around the world, expanding, growing. For what reason, we have no idea. Death from the air, because it's death that makes America strong. We are boys and girls who love our toys. They give us joy. We love our toys. We love America. Constitution not included.
Fallujah, Guernica, Libya, Bosnia, North Vietnam, Kandahar, Baghdad, Dresden, Hiroshima. It just goes on and on. Shock and awe, just cause, Operation Iraqi Freedom. The war to end all wars. Be all you can be. The United States Air Force, a global force for good. The land of the free and the home of the brave and fighter jets streaking over the stadium. Mary had a little lamb. It just goes on and on. Whose fleece was white as snow. It just goes on and on. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go, making no sense whatsoever.
We'd now like to introduce or to welcome our special guest, radio columnist Sherwood Ross. Sherwood joins us at the first week of each month. Sherwood is a veteran journalist. He now directs the Anti-War News Service, and his reporting and commentaries on political and military topics appear on hundreds of internet sites globally. Hello, Sherwood. Are you there tonight?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and it's a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with your radio audience.
Take it away, Sherwood.
I was thinking that when our first president, George Washington, left office, he warned Americans to beware of those overgrown military establishments, which under any form of government are inauspicious to liberty. Inauspicious to liberty. What a diplomatic way of saying overgrown militaries are destroyers of liberty. Please note, Washington said those words 160 years before President Eisenhower's celebrated warning against the military-industrial complex. It may even be that as Eisenhower was stuck for a model for his farewell speech, he wisely looked back on what Washington said. Overgrown military establishments. And what have we got today? If not the biggest, the costliest, the most overgrown warfare machine ever created, tightening its grip on the entire world, poised to attack any point on the planet by land, sea, air, and, as we shall see, even from outer space. Since World War II, America has become the new Rome, only larger, grander, greedier, an empire on which the sun never sets and which operates under a cloak of secrecy, an empire that has its boots on the ground on every continent, an empire that spends more for war than for peace, an empire whose atomic arsenals can destroy the planet, an empire that directs vast armies and navies that dwarf all the forces of its potential enemies combined. An empire whose spy apparatus snoops on the entire human race. An empire that dominates the globe from 1,000 bases on its own soil and 800 or 900 more overseas. From Diego Garcia to Okinawa, an empire of secret military prisons and torture chambers, an empire where prisoners have no rights and can rot for 10 years behind bars with no trial, an empire that is the planet's number one arms peddler, and an empire that is hated by millions of people because it supports despotic regimes that deny them their freedoms. An empire, in short, that is run from the Pentagon today and is the exact opposite of everything George Washington ever hoped for. If you doubt this, read House of War by James Carroll. The book is subtitled The Pentagon and the Disastrous Rise of American Power. Carroll says, quote, "The Pentagon is now the dead center of an open-ended martial enterprise that no longer pretends to be defense," end quote. If you still doubt, read The New American Militarism by Professor Andrew Bacevich, Boston University. He writes, "If America persists in global primacy and impressing its values on the world, quote, America will surely share the fate of all those who in ages past have looked to war and military power to fulfill their destiny. We will rob future generations of their rightful inheritance. We will wreak havoc abroad. We will endanger our security at home. We will risk the forfeiture of all that we prize," end quote. If you doubt, we have become just the opposite of what George Washington wanted. Read what former President Jimmy Carter says about the Pentagon deploying weapons in space. Quote, "The ABM Treaty prohibited space-based weapons, but our government's abandonment of the treaty in 2002, that would be under George Bush, opened the door to this extremely destabilizing project. The new Defense Department doctrine defines our goal as freedom to attack, as well as to defend from space. The goal is to strike any target on Earth within 45 minutes. Carter writes that one Air Force scheme is called Rods from God. Quote, "This plan calls for hurling cylinders of heavy metal from space at 7,200 miles an hour that would strike a target with the destructive force of a small nuclear weapon," end quote. If you think President Carter exaggerates, read Noam Chomsky's book, Imperial Ambitions. He writes, "The Air Force Space Command said the U.S. is going to move from control of space to ownership of space." Ownership. Ownership of the sky. "This means no potential challenge to U.S. control of space will be tolerated. If anyone challenges us, we'll destroy them." Chomsky says this means putting platforms in space for nuclear and laser weapons, which can be launched instantaneously without warning anywhere in the world. It means hypersonic drones that will keep the whole world under photo surveillance, with high-resolution devices that can tell you if a car is driving across the street in Ankara, Turkey, meaning the whole world is under surveillance. You know, not even in George Orwell's 1984 was Big Brother watching everybody in the world the way Uncle Sam is now watching you, yes, you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. We have come so far from what George Washington wanted for America that many rulers of America could be tried as war criminals, including our most recent past president, George W. Bush, and most of his employees. In his book, Rogue State, Washington investigative reporter Bill Blum indicts a number of recent presidents and public officials, starting with Bill Clinton. Why? For his merciless bombing of Yugoslavia for 78 days and nights in 1999, and also for his illegal and lethal bombings of Somalia, Bosnia, Sudan, and Afghanistan. Blum goes on to indict General Wesley Clark for his role in the bombing of Yugoslavia. He indicts the first president, George H.W. Bush, quote, for the death of more than a million innocent Iraqi citizens, the result of his 40 days of bombing in 1991, including the deliberate ruination of the public water supply. One indicts former General Colin Powell for his role in the attacks on Panama, as well as Iraq. One indicts Caspar Weinberger, the Reagan-era defense secretary, for the bombing of Libya in 1986. He indicts Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North for his role in planning the illegal invasion of Grenada in support of the Contra attacks of Nicaragua. So you see, this has been going on for some time. And like the attacks on Nicaragua, much of it kept secret from the American people, who were paying for all of this. And what would George Washington make of President Barack Obama? It was Washington who led his ragged army of shoeless patriots to depose a king, George III, with tyrannical powers over them. But there in the Oval Office, like a god on the throne, sits President Obama, raining down death and destruction from the heavens on all those he suspects of actions against America. No court orders, no trials, no lawyers, no juries, no justice. Just the will of the king, King Obama, the former lowly CIA employee, now the powerful chief of operations for the CIA's global crimes and the crimes of the Pentagon as well. What would George Washington, the president who warned of those overgrown military establishments, have thought of Barack Obama and America today? You can tell me at SherwoodRoss10@gmail.com, SherwoodRoss10@gmail.com, Good night to every one of you.
Thank you very much, Sherwood.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
You bet.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
So I jumped on the fence and yelled at the House, "Hey, what gives you the right to put millions in prisons, bomb other countries, torture, make me pay taxes for the military?" Sign, sign, everywhere sign. Healthcare, road repair, build school here, Cold War, Iraq War, war on drugs. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the signs?
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. The Tinker farm family, Sam, Ray, Herb, along with a couple dozen local farmers, have taken over Conopasic Farms, the large area
Hog Confinement Factory Farm Corporation. Sam Tinger, the negotiator for the Rebel Farm Group on the road by the mailbox, has asked to talk to Joe Coffey, Coffey Joe, the Democratic candidate for Congress. Joe is considering whether to go do it or not. Jane thinks he might have more chance to get elected to Congress if he doesn't get branded as sympathetic to the rebels and if he stays alive. And then on the home front for Joe and Jane, some things got tossed onto their front lawn. Some things perhaps meant to steer them away from being sympathetic to the farmers. Some things perhaps like finding a bloody horse head in your bed. We want to talk to Joe Coffey. Sam placed his words down like Scrabble tiles on a triple word score. Coffey Joe? The sheriff winced and cocked his head. He put his hands on his hips and tipped his forehead towards Sam. Sam, who the hell is Coffey Joe? You know the candidate, said Sam. What can he do? Asked Smith. Everybody knows Coffey Joe, said Sam. We think he'll listen to us. Congressman Vandermeer has already said he's willing to fly in tomorrow from Washington, said Smith. Joseph Coffey can't do anything for you. We think he can, said Sam. We have the hostages.
Herbert Tinker stood over at one end of the long conference table, thick oak. He leaned with both hands on the table, his red seed corn cap cocked to one side. Long as we have that, we have everything. We don't have jack shit, Tinker, you know that. Gravel voice shouted back, a fist thumped the table. Behind Herb, a blackboard on rollers still showed portions of notes from the latest meeting. The yellow cursive scrawl had been rubbed away by hand in the middle, replaced by crisp, bold yellow letters. One, perimeter. Two, food. Three, communication. Four, goals. Five, outcome. Sam walked up the lane alone, his head down, his gun swinging at his right side, a red and yellow cellular phone in his left hand. What'd they say, asked Eddie as Sam reached him. Sam looked up, stopped, and walked up to Eddie. They wonder, he began. About the shot, said Eddie. Sam looked Eddie in the eyes. I told them it was warning shots. His eyes said that warning shots are what they should have been, asshole. They want a list of the hostages. Dennis and Dwayne Konopasek are flying in tonight from South Carolina. Herb in here? Sam reached for the silver doorknob and pulled. Sound of the room poured outside and stopped as Sam stood in the door. He walked in, letting the door shut behind him. Eddie shook out another cigarette. That night, the wounded pig flag drooped, metal pins tinkling against the pole. The sun god took one last hard look at his work before stepping down from the ladder. The moon waited, annoyed, impatient, ready to go on duty, cocksure it could do a better job. The line of vehicles still filled the road, facing both ways on both sides, SUVs of all colors, sheriff's cars, FBI and U.S. Marshal unmarked vehicles, brown and gold state patrol cars, television tower trucks, personal cars at both ends that brought the families of the hostages and the dead guards, their stiff floating bodies now in the machine shed, covered by lawnmower tarps attracting flies and ants and raccoons. Two butchered hogs were being prepared inside a confinement that had been cleared out, scrubbed, and turned into a mess hall. The Iowa Farmer Rebels, as they were being called in the international media, continued to meet in the Conopassic Family Farms office building. Around the table, informal debates were taking place on farm policy, the hostages, patriotism, and Eddie Zook. The table was filled with half-full cherry Gatorade bottles, yellow and red cloth gloves, Marlboro packages, and Farming Today magazines. An unwatched television blared atop a projector cart in a corner.
Sam sat with the shades drawn in Duane Konopasek's office, talking to a producer for Nightline. Sam drank from a warm Dr. Pepper can and cradled the phone in his shoulder while peeking out at the night. Herb stood in the bathroom with the door open, leaning his stomach into the sink, looking at himself in the mirror, putting on Kmart camouflage paint to lead a night patrol off the property to meet a group of farmers from the Minnesota NFO who would be packing in extra supplies and men. Karen Tinker sat on her sofa with her arms around her children watching television. They sat in their clean pajamas and wet hair and snuggled in closer to Mom as she spread her arms both ways over them, pulling them in. With the remote in her left hand, pointed at the TV while resting on a flannel shoulder, she deftly zapped back and forth from the Disney movie to Dan Rather's special report.
Eddie Zook lay on his stomach in the front lawn outside the office building, 40 yards from Sam Tinker on the phone. His face was painted, his orange bandana now filled in with navy blue magic marker, giving it a mongrel tone. With his left shoulder pushed into a small tree, he peered between the grass blades, with his barrel resting in a forked twig, pointed at the dark figures on the road. Eddie rolled to his back to smoke behind the tree. Resting his head against the small trunk and cupping his hand around the cigarette as he'd seen done in black and white war movies, he watched the stars. Talked to himself in his head, that's how he put it. Another siren blared on the highway. Radios in the squad cars whispered all the one atom 12 stuff into the night. Eddie heard the men gathered at the mailbox, but not enough to make out the words, so he couldn't help inventing the words. Eddie Zook, an amapper. Zook did it. Ex-convict. Didn't even finish his senior English essay. Two men dead. Zook must die. He heard the buzzing inside the compound about how Eddie Zook isn't even a farmer. Why is he here? He's probably an FBI agent on a mission to ruin the whole thing. Eddie heard the office door wheezing closed and pushing open, then closed. He didn't smell the hogs as much as he had earlier in the day. He closed his eyes, gulped down this incredible feeling, so quiet, so exciting. He's on post, the whole effing world out there on the road in their homes watching this little pig farm on television. And with Eddie Zook out here on the front line, absolute first line of defense. Heaven. He wouldn't have to live past this. No years in solitary confinement with no colors, sensory deprivation. No years of working in some Mount Liberty factory, carrying some oily brown sack back and forth like Sisyphus. Jane would be home watching this too. How old Eddie turned the whole effing damn world on its MFing ear just by riding his bike up and down the block, flying higher off the bump than anyone ever had before.
Joe and Jane Coffee balanced on the edge of their sofa. Jane picked up the phone in the middle of the first ring. Yes, I don't know. Okay. Who is that? Joe asked while keeping his eyes on the set. O. Smith again. He just wondered if you'd given it any more thought. He asked if you would consider just going down to the mailbox and standing with him to talk to Sam Tinker. I don't know what you tell him. Sam Tinker, I've never heard that name, said Joe. They farm around here. They all do or used to. He's kind of one of the leaders, I guess, said Jane. Jesus, I should at least talk to Rather, said Joe. If they call again, I want you to, Joe. Jane put up her hand and put her head down. You can win this. She looked up with pleading face. It's close, the election. Congressman Joseph Coffey. She constructed an office door name plaque across the air with the space between her thumb and first finger. Joe looked back at the screen, the remote in his hands, his elbows on his knees. He looked back at her. I'm not Congressman Joseph Coffey, he said. I'm Coffey Joe.
She paused. She stared, pulled her hair with one hand from her back to one shoulder. The polls say you can be whatever you want to be, said Jane. Think about the people, the ones you got into this for in the first place, the Mexicans, the poor. The farmer, said Joe. Yes, the farmer, said Jane. But you can't help them by getting yourself killed, by going out there looking like you support them and having everybody in their living rooms and every voting household in the district see you in cahoots with these terrorists. She sprang up, waved her arms over her head as if doing half jumping jacks. Getting killed, said Joe. You think Sam Tinker would kill me? I don't know, said Jane. Once more, Dan Rather said the rebel farmers had taken over Conopasic Family Farms, 4 miles northeast of Mount Liberty, Nebraska, had asked to speak to Democratic congressional candidate Joseph Coffey of Mount Liberty, otherwise known as Coffey Joe, said Rather. Thus far, no word from Mr. Coffey.
The chatter of the delicate wind chimes in the bedroom woke Joe as he lay on his back with his hands crossed behind his back. He heard the clock rotate and the garbage truck roar away. Joe opened his eyes and looked through the blue afghan at the purple dinosaur on the TV screen and realized he had slept on the couch all night. The national chair of the Democratic Party sat at his desk. The Washington Post lay on the floor at his feet with the banner headline, Heartland in Revolt, Iowa, Nebraska Farm Revolutionaries Want to Talk to Democratic Candidate. He leaned forward to set both elbows on the desk, held the phone to his ear, and hid his eyes behind his thumb and first finger. The head of the Nebraska Democratic Party stood at the front window of the Nebraska Democratic Party headquarters in downtown Lincoln, watching a policeman stop at the light and a bus barreled down the other side of the street. He held his cell phone to his ear and kept his other hand deep in his front pocket. He turned his back to the street, ducked his head, and walked lockstep around the office. Joe tossed the afghan between the sofa and trudged upstairs. He lay down next to Jane, just ahead of a rumbling on the carpeted steps, a waterfall rushing uphill.
Daddy! Mommy! What? Said Joe and Jane together, annoyed. Mommy! Dad! Come here! The children stood in a clump by the bed. Joe and Jane managed to open their eyes to pay scant attention. What is it? Said Jane. On the lawn! There's whales on the lawn! Dead whales! Baby whales! Beaks! They are not. Whales don't have teeth. How could they get beaks in town? Dad! Mom! The whales have teeth. Tell them you can't get beached in a town, can you, Dad? Jane sat up, crossed her legs, yoga style. Joe dug his heels into the mattress to push against the headboard and ran a hand backward through his hair. What? Jane twirled around, grabbed a sweatshirt from the chair, and walked to the window with it over her head. The chimes tingled as she moved the cloth to look down at the lawn. No! She screamed. Pushed back more curtains, yanked the cord for the blinds. The children ran to the window. Oh my God, Jane yelled. See, Daddy? Come look! Joe stood and stuck his hands down his gym shorts to walk to the window. Put his hands on the shoulders of two children to lean forward and see out the window. Let's see the whales. Oh, my God. He heard the front door shooshing open as Jane hurried outside. A string of right hands chased each other down the banister as the rest raced down the steps. Joe and the children stood in a bunch on the porch as Jane moved around the six dead hogs on the front lawn. They're pink, said one of the kids. Somebody deaded them, said another. One of the kids walked over to a hog with its eyes open and its mouth open. They got teeth. Whales got teeth. Are these beach pigs, Dad? Daddy, can pigs swim? Of course they can, stupid brass. How else would they get beach? Joe? Jane looked at him with her hands on her hip. Come on, guys, said Joe. Hurry, come on, move. Now. We got them herded inside. Seated on the floor in front of the television with bowls of dry cereal in their laps. The door slammed as he walked back outside. What the hell is this? He asked Jane. Well, how should I know? She scowled back. I didn't say you should know, but my God, somebody put these here. Why? She looked at him. Oh, my God, he said. A car with an elderly couple drove past, slow. Then a pickup. Then a city truck. When the four-way stop filled up, Joe and Jane walked inside with eyes studying the old paint on the porch. Jane called her mom and dad and came to the front window when Joe called. She stood behind him, looking over his shoulder, watching a policeman stand in the middle of the four-way intersection, directing traffic. What are you going to do, Daddy? By the time he looked over to the little girl, she was involved in an alphabet hurling contest with her sister. I don't know, honey. Outside, some teenagers in a maroon cougar with ball caps pulled tight over their heads were stopped at the four-way. Coffee Joe, they hollered. Hey, Coffee Joe, want some eggs with that? Coffee Joe! Coffee Joe, yelled one of the kids inside. Coffee Joe!
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO school crossing guards are about average.
And that's it for our New American Radio show tonight. We thank you for joining us. We hope you'll stop by next week, same time, same place. Tonight and every night after the show, stay tuned for Black Op Radio with our producer, Lena Sanek. We thank WorldNewsTrust.com and TheSpiritualUN.org for their generous sponsorship of our show. And now we say good night. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.